Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8 is where we are going now. And we saw in chapter 7 how Paul was writing about the reality of our dual nature. That the Christian has a dual what? Nature. The first one is the inner man, which is the born again spirit, and which is very much alive, and it talks, hears, and then the outer man, which is the house that houses the inner man. We have scriptures for that, but we're not going there tonight. So he began to talk about the struggle that the Christian has because of the reality of his dual nature. The outer man is natural, is flesh, is not spiritual, is from the earth, and has to go back to the earth. And because it is alive, it has its own mind, it has its own desires, it has its own pleasures. But the born again spirit also has its own mind because it has the nature of God. It has its own desires. The Spirit of God is living in him and walking in him, talking to him. And so the reality of this thing plays out in our lives. So in Galatians 5:16, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk and live habitually in the what? Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. You see, so we have this human nature without God. He says, if you want to deal with this thing, walk habitually in the Spirit. Walk habitually under the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that you will not be able to walk under the guidance of your sinful nature. Verse 17. We're going all the way to 18, 17. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit. Can you put a New Living Translation? Please. Shorten the book. The sinful nature wants to do evil. Is that correct? Come on now. Okay. Wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. I'm not talking about a Christian. He says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So two desires are coming to us. One from the sinful nature, and the other from what? From the Spirit, from the born again spirit, where the Holy Spirit is operating. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not now free to carry out your good intentions. This is what he was talking about in chapter 7, if you remember. This is exactly what he was alluding to in chapter 7. And so he wrote to the Galatians talking about the same thing. If you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 23, you will see where he mentions about the frustration it creates. They call it groaning. And we believers also groan. And we believers also what? Groan. Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and what? Suffering. We too wait for the eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. Until then, we have to deal with this thing. He said we groan. Why do we groan? Can somebody tell me why is it groaning for us? Why? Now, what causes the distress? What causes the distress? You are doing what you don't want. So it's making you feel bad. So we really groan, which means we feel bad. You know, sometimes you feel like beating up. Have you ever felt like beating up yourself? You feel so bad. I mean, really so bad. Especially when you know I shouldn't do this and you are doing it, and you do it again. Has anybody felt like that? So I'm not alone. Welcome to the class. Praise the Lord. So Paul is being real. Paul is speaking the truth. There is no pretenses here. That this is how it is. That we have this constant engagement going on. That our flesh wants to impose its desire. And then your spirit wants to also guide you to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Especially when your emotions are stirred up. When your emotions are stirred up, there's no telling what we can do. And after we have sweated and cursed out people, banged on the table, jumped all over the place, and then finally we come back to our senses like the prodigal son, then we begin to process what just happened, and we feel really so bad. I had the story of a sister, and the husband came back pretending to be drunk. Just pretending. So the sister laid it on him. Finished him. And finished him so bad. The man said, No, I'm just putting up. I'm not drunk, really. No. Then the thing got her really mad. Because she has said a lot of things. And now she realizes, oh my God. Then she now laid it more on him. And then she couldn't sleep. She said, I couldn't sleep. She said, I was tumbling on the bed, feeling so bad. And it is really, really bad. You know, that's what Paul is saying. We grow. It causes us pain. Why we love God. We don't want to do those things. Praise the Lord. So in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, where we ended last time, we see what Paul said about it. He said, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And then he found the answer. He found the answer in verse 25. Verse 25. Let's read 25 together. Let's go. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's go back and read it again. Let's go. Want to go? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm in trouble here. So the answer is in what? Jesus Christ. Can we say it again? Let's say it loud again. The answer is not in yourself. But that's why we run and we keep pressing. The answer is not in any system. The answer is not in any ritual. Church of God. The answer is not in any ritual. All those rituals is not Jesus. Jesus is a person. The answer is not in what we do. The answer is not in what we do. Because if it is in what we do, then we don't need Jesus. But Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. The answer is in Jesus. I want you to understand this, because I run into many Christians who still don't believe in Jesus Christ. Many people who go to church have no faith in Christ. They call him here. They have confidence in their rituals, in themselves, and the things they do, like the Pharisees had. And you can't even convince them that Christ is their sufficiency. They won't take it. Some of them will get mad at you right away. Who tells you they really don't believe in Jesus? If Jesus is our sufficiency, is it not what the Holy Spirit is saying, that all you really need is what is you? Christ. It will shock you to find many people who still don't understand salvation in Christ. Many Christians. I'm not talking of you. Many. I finally came to one conclusion. Truly, many are called, but what? Few be chosen. I have come to. You know, I had some of these older preachers say that, someone like, forgotten their name, people that preached to thousands stood up and said, I've now realized that few people are really saved. The people who preach to thousands saying that, they have come to realize that actually few people are saved. The answer is in Christ Jesus. Let's say amen to that. So now, if the answer is in Christ Jesus, let me show you something. My brother, can you come? Just watch us. Just watch us. He has a problem. Turn around. Let them see you. No, your face, because you have a problem. So they see you have a problem. So he has a problem. And the answer is this. Right? What should I give him if I want to help him? Now, if I don't give him this, and I'm giving him everything else, will you solve this problem? So now, if you want to solve this problem of the flesh issue, and they say the answer is Jesus, what will you give the person? Point him to Christ. That's the answer. That's the answer. Stop trying to do stuff. This is the answer. That's why he came. Praise the Lord. Thank you. So, all that Paul was doing to the body of Christ, and I want you to hear, was pointing them to Jesus. He said, I preach Christ what? He said, I don't want to hear anything else. Because here's the answer. And we sing it, Jesus is the answer. But don't sing it. Don't sing all of that. So, he was pointing the body of, just like John the Baptist started. Behold what? That is still the message today. That is still the message what? Today. That message has not changed. And that message is what the Spirit of God came to make us do. Is to look unto Jesus. That is the message today, church. You miss it, you miss the answer, and the struggle continues. So Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 20. He said, but that is not what you learned about who? Christ. Verse 21. Can you put 21 King James or New King James? If indeed you have heard from who? And have been taught by him, as the truth is where? In Christ Jesus. The truth is in him. The truth is what? You can't find the truth outside of him. You cannot find the truth. What? He is the embodiment of the truth. That's why he said I'm the truth. And the Bible says that in him dwelleth all the what? All the what? Fullness of what? Wisdom and fullness of what? No, I'm not going. In him dwelleth all the what? Wisdom and knowledge. All of it. All of it. I have not failed to tell you people here who I know Jesus. And I'll keep saying it. The devil can't stop us. He said, I've heard it before. Hear it again. There's no other message. Here's the answer. The more you know him, the more you change to his image. The more you know him, the more you are powerful in him. The more you know him, the more your faith is growing. The more you know him, the more his glory is being revealed to you. You can't finish knowing him. He's a deep well of water. Whoever thirsts, let him come and drink. You can't drink enough. Paul spent his time, his entire life, wanting to know Christ. And he exclaimed, he said, this knowledge, there's nothing that what? Compares with. And I wanted to check his life out. One man, riot squad. Everywhere he went, he was exuding the power of God. Everywhere that man went. Everywhere he went, his life was, it was a source of pouring of the power of Christ. Outpouring. Serious outpouring. And let me tell us something. To the extent that you know Christ, to that extent will reveal his glory. To that extent, God can be. To that extent. So the truth is in him, 22. Now let's go back to New Living Translation. That you put off now concerning, throw off your what? Old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Verse 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Verse 24. Put on your new nature. Let's stop there. What was the instruction? That's the instruction. Put on what? That's the instruction. Put on your new nature. Created to be what? Like truly righteous and holy. Verse 20. So now, when Paul wrote that, he was pointing to the church and saying, if you learn from Christ, if he taught you, you are going to see the work that God did in your life through him, that he gave you a new, let me say, if you ever learn from him, if he taught you, if he ever taught you, if you heard from Jesus Christ, he's going to show you what he accomplished in your life. And so, so you can now put what? All the new nature, which is created in true righteousness and holiness. So that new nature has a different nature. What is that new nature? Huh? The spirit man. The born again spirit. That is living in the spirit. When you live by that spirit, by that nature. That is living in the spirit is not, it's not type. It's not senior pastor. Living in the spirit is when that your spirit man is dominating your life. Because the spirit, that which is born of the spirit is what? But when flesh is dominating you, you are living in the flesh. It's as simple as it is. So Paul said, put on this new nature. Put on this new nature. Can you tell your neighbor what I said? Put on this new nature. Now, a Christian has been a Christian 10 years. He hasn't even asked me, how do I put on this? If this is this, I need to understand it very well. So that I'm sure that I'm putting it. Just the same thing like the scripture says, put on the whole world. Did you know that you are not supposed to wear it intermittently? It's supposed to be a permanent feature of God. Supposed to be a permanent feature of God. A permanent dress. It's not what you wear on Monday and put it off on Tuesday. It's what you wear what? So, he said, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And in verse 25, he told us what this flesh produces, the old nature that we had, that we should throw it off. Verse 25, stop telling what? Now stop there. Did he say pray? Pray to God to stop telling. Come on, ask the church. Did you hear they are going to pray for grace? Give you more grace to stop. You are not serious yet. I'm telling you, you are simply not what? Serious. The Holy Spirit said, hey, stop telling lies. And you can do it if you want to. Praise the Lord. Can we prove that? Why not if you go to your primary care office and it tells you that if you tell one more lie, you die. Do you think you will stop? I'm not asking. Do you think he will stop? He will stop. He will stop. So, put it back. So, don't put it back. We want to read it. So, stop telling what? Lies. These are the old things he said we should put off. There they are. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. For we are all parts of the same body. verse 26. And don't sin by letting anger control. Can we say amen? Do we agree? All in favor, say aye. I'm not going for that one, just today. Yeah. You see, all that is the old nature. Don't let the sun go down while you are still what? Anybody stay carrying anger from yesterday? Even from last week? How many are we here? From last week? Even from years ago? My auntie said years ago. This is what we talking years ago. You see what those things do to us? Is that they deprive us of the best of them. They really affect us. Because when you clothe yourself with the old nature, it limits what you can do spiritually. It really, really cuts you down so much. You're just like Samson. They say the Philistines are what? Are here and you can't do it. Because this flesh cannot do any spiritual activity. You can't do it. And then you resort to all these rituals that are useless. You can't speak the word of faith. You can't. Because the flesh is taking over your life. So he told us to put off what was verse 27. For anger gives a foothold, what? In them. See what was said. Then 28. If you are a thief, quit what? Stick. Do we steal? In your job? You steal time? Yeah? Look, you can steal money. You can steal time. You signed up to work by 8. And you say, I work from 8 to what? 4. But if you haven't put in 4-hour service, because most of the time, you are playing truants. You are a thief. Hey, I pastor you. Let me tell you the truth. You are just a thief. The money you are receiving, you want. You are just a thief. I'm telling you, before God and man, you are a thief. The money you are receiving, not to talk of that. You go to work, and instead of working, I've been talking to some people in their place of work in Nigeria, 2 hours they're still on the phone. And I ask and say, where are you? Say, I'm working. I say, you're not working. Can I help us here? Those things cheat you too. Read the Bible and see it for yourself. Jesus said, what things you want to happen to you? First, do what? And they said, if you are not faithful in that which belongs to another, who will give you your own? That's the Holy Spirit asking that. How can I give you your own? You are not faithful in another man's. So how can I give you your own? There are things you don't get by fasting. It's written spiritual laws that right there. You break them, you pay the penalty. And you'll be suffering, and you say, Satan is after you, just don't Satan. You are breaking spiritual laws and suing what you are speaking. When you go to work, and you're supposed to start by 8, go and start your work. And be diligent. The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with what? Come on, talk to me. Do it with what? If you are a member of this church, and you go to church and work and play truancy, I'm not your pastor. You didn't hear from me. You didn't hear from me. I don't know why you had it. Go and work diligently. Go and earn your pay. And let it be a blessing to you so that the devil will find a way to be stealing your money from back door. You ask salary, something will happen. The thing goes back door. And you're wondering what's happening to me because you're stealing it. I didn't teach you that. I have witnesses here. If you go to work, please do what? Put in your best. If you don't want to work there, quit. No, there's no point trying to, be smart aleck here. You can't be smart aleck. The Bible says God cannot be mocked. What's every man's weight? you are cheating somebody, you are cheating yourself. It will end up boomeranging on you. I want to tell you something. I'll go and check it out. You see all these politicians in Nigeria that steal our money? Shake their aim, shake their children, shake where that money is. It's always a misery. Because it's not a blessing. Whatever God didn't give you is not a good and perfect gift. So leave it alone. That's what the devil will use to commit. If God didn't give it to you, it is not a good and perfect gift. You don't need it. The enemy will come after it because he gave it to you. I'm telling you the truth. If you are working and I'm your pastor, you go to work, for God's sake, do the work. Sign up by 8, that's when I signed up. My wife will go and say, you people owe me this out. Whatever thing we are doing, I signed up to serve you. After working, you now owe me, you pay me. Truancy is not part of Christian culture. Truancy is deceit. It's not part of Christ of Christ. Jesus was never a truant. Never. Impossible to identify him with that. And you go to work, you're making trouble with your supervisors, fighting them. Yeah? You sign up and then you sneak into the parking lot. What are you doing there? Is that your office? Then you stay 1 hour, you sneak back. If they catch you, say, this supervisor is wicked. You shout, God, we fight my battle for you. Look, I'm not passing you if you're behaving like that. I'm telling you the truth. If I'm your supervisor, I would recommend you to be what? Fired. To be fired. I don't even know why I'm stopping here. I'm talking all of this. You know, sometimes you are just inspired to be saying this. But it is talking to somebody. Please, let's quit all that stuff. Let's present Christ the way he is. Let's present Jesus the way what he is. Be diligent in what you do. Work fervently with your hand. Follow the Holy Spirit guidance. Honor your supervisors. Honor people that are in charge over you. Respect them. They may not be perfect, but you are not either. By honoring them, one day God will promote you above them. God knows what to do. Isn't that my wife? The supervisor said, I will be fired. She will write all manner of things. They have to sign. But I don't know what to do. And my wife will pause because she said, you know what thing about here? Somebody brought me here. And when he wants, he will now. But when he opens the door, no man can. She told me, said, it will be so hard sometimes. I just go into the bathroom and cry a little bit. And after crying, I said, Lord, I trust you. It was tough. You know, temptations, when they come, will touch them. Will touch your flesh. It will challenge you. That's why it's called temptation. That's why it's trial. It's not something you eat with a soup and be smiling over. No, it will really shake you sometimes. It wasn't easy for her. That's first time she was using computer. Coming from Ibulobi, I know what that is. But after years, listen to this story. After years, that woman began to call her to her office to tell her all her needs. Or she was dying. The person she wanted to call was her. And she come and tell her all details of her problem. And my wife would begin to teach her as she got well, got here. She was a Muslim. She sat here during our service. How many of you saw her? Sat right here. Right in the church. Followed her here. And when she moved to another department, she took her out. Just taking her out. And they wrote her one letter from that work. She said, your presence has brought. Said, added value to the world and change the attitude around it. Basically, pay the price for it. She suffered for it. It was unjust. But God says, I know how to deliver the righteous from what? All their troubles. In that suffering, they see what they have never seen before. They have seen somebody love them. They know it's not normal. Something is talking to them. I'm telling you, they are seeing Christ at work, bearing the body, enduring her. And the Lord will reward you for that. I didn't hear. So we should put off this old stuff and things like that. Rebellion is part, it's not part of Christianity. I've always said it. Don't get rebellious. For God's sake, please. Rebellion is not part of the Holy Spirit. It's not part of it. It's not part of it. I'm telling you, it's not part of it. Let them throw you in the dung here. Oh, Jesus. It's, look, if God says you're not going anywhere, they can't do anything. Let them throw you in that dung here, do whatever they like to you. If their God will pick you from there, he will take all of them out, put you in their position. It's good. And nobody can move you. I've seen it happen. There was a sister, they were following around, wanting to sleep with her, she refused. And then the manager threw her to Port Harcourt, just to dislocate her family. And then I was leaving their last center, and she told me, I said, really? I said, okay, now the manager is going to Port Harcourt. She was looking at me, I said, yeah, he is going to where? You are going nowhere. I said, we ran on earth. And we stood there and prayed, I said, Lord, this man is dislocating this because this woman refused to sleep with him. He needs to go on transfer to Port Harcourt. Because who is it that speaks? It comes to pass except you have decreed it. You didn't decree this thing. It's from the pit of hell. So we cancel it in Jesus' name. Monday, the manager was transferred to Port Harcourt. The girl was put back there. God has eyes. He sees what? Everything. He's a God of justice. He will fight your battles if you become a fool for him. If you let him. If you let him. If you let him. If you endure till the end, you wear the crown one morning, you come down and realize, whoa! Do you know how powerful your God is? He moves in a department, he can dislocate the entire department. He can move the entire local government out. I don't understand. Isn't it not Crawford Dollar that wanted to buy somewhere? God relocated the entire county. All of a sudden, something hit them. Everybody wanted to run away from them, including the supermarkets. Everybody was running. The local government said, we are moving from here. Nobody spoke to them. And when they left, God said to him, now you can buy up all this place and do what you I want you to. So he bought up all the supermarket and local government quarters. Nobody was there now. Bought up everything and started doing what God wanted him to do. No effort. We don't believe in God. We don't. That's why we go and be fighting and fighting. How much can you really fight? How far can you? Am I harsh? Praise the Lord. Verse 29. Ephesians 4:29. Don't use Ephesians 5:29. Don't use what? Foul or abusive language. Did you see what he's saying? Put off these things. Put on the new man so the glory of Christ will be reflected. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and happy, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear. He who has yet to hear, let him hear. Then, verse 30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. That one says, get rid. That is putting off the old man. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh. What? Did I hear right? Harsh what? Did I hear right? Harsh what? Who said that? Is it in the Bible? Harsh what? Especially you. This student. Attention! Why did you leave this year? Why would it turn down? Like, you know my son, let me tell you, he's here. My son told me, he said, daddy, You don't have to shout, I can hear you. That's it. He said, that guy shout, I can hear you. You don't have to shout. I said, my friend, I'll sit down. I paid the ticket here, and I they're teaching me what shouting is. Look at me. I know why they're paying your flight. He said, Barry was right. He said, you don't have to shout. I can hear you. We can discuss. This is not a war. Make your point. It's not part of here. Just make your point. And let me make my point. We can discuss. And I arrive at something. The child don't need it here. This is one of those days. This might be different, right? Praise the Lord. Verse 31. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. 32. Instead, now this is what you put on. Instead, be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving what? Just as God through Christ has forgiven. That's the new man. That's what I said to put on. This is the new attitude. That's what I said. Let the Spirit renew your attitude. Let the Spirit teach you what you should put off, and you can put it off, and what you put on, because you can put it on. Let this be shown. That's what he said. Renew your mind. Then he wrote to Colossian Church, Colossians 2:6. I wish I have time so that I can know that. Colossians 2:6. And now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let's read verse 7 together. No, you have your Bible now. In fact, it's good, it's not showing. Today we know those who don't come with Bible. This is like the day that the badges. The fact, the 10, how many badges? 10. Today now, the master has come. You don't have your. So we'll help you today. Okay. Is it coming on? Is it coming on? Is there hope? Is there any hope at all? Okay, we've gone to Colossians 2:6. Colossians 2:6. And now, Colossians 2:6, I'm reading New Living Translation. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to what? Follow him. Verse 7. Let your roots grow down where? Into him. And let your life be built on him. Then your faith will now grow strong in the truth you are taught. And you will now overflow with what? Thanksgiving. You must grow deep in him. It's not on surface something. It's not on the soft. That's why I said Christ is the answer. He is where you should be pointing to. So that every day your roots in Christ must grow deeper. Because this world is full of fires. When hurricane comes, there are trees that hurricanes don't uproot. You know those type of trees? There are trees that don't uproot. They have the fibrous roots from everywhere, from the side, from the. If you see that, if you go to all those hurricane areas, you see those type of trees planted there, all over. They don't have taproot. Sycamore. It has fibrous roots. It has thousands of roots. Thousands, not even one. And roots grow from the stem everywhere. So when hurricane comes, it has thousands of roots. Which one will it uproot? So the thing will be doing like this. If you go to all those hurricane prone areas, watch those houses. First of all, their houses are not too high. So you see them planted all over the place. It breaks the speed of it. Why? Because it has roots that is deep and strong. That's what the scripture is saying. Let your root grow deep and go. Christ Jesus. So your faith will begin to grow. Is it not faith that you used to overcome? Is it not faith that is what the Bible says the just shall live by his faith? Is it not your shield in times of throwing fiery darts? Is it not the life of faith we are living? And the Bible is telling us how this thing happens. Let your root grow deep in Christ. Leave rituals alone. He said, let your root grow deep in rituals. In Christ alone. Praise the Lord. Verse 8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ. That's all you need. Your union with Christ. Your union with Christ makes you complete, adequately provided for, adequately furnished, adequately empowered, adequately ready for anything. Anything at all. Your union with Christ. Who is the head over every ruler and authority. Verse 11. Keep going. We're going to verse 15. When you came to Christ, you were what? You see, this is part of renewing your mind so you understand exactly who you are and what God did. You were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual what? Circumcision. The cutting away of your sinful nature. That is the spiritual nature, the spiritual part of you. Cutting away. Say, this is what happened. Christians, you must know and believe these things and live by it. You can't read these things and just by a red Bible and you throw it by the side. These are the truths you live by. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life because you sustained the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Verse 13. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of all the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to us. So when you got saved, you can't go back and be telling me, Pastor, you know, I did the abortion 10 years ago. That's nonsense. You don't understand. It doesn't exist. The blood washed it what? Okay. It doesn't exist. A baby has no record. Right? A baby has no record, has no not memory. There's no life before. No life before. So when when the next time you go to maternity and you see, is it maternity they call it there? Labor room, right? My mother went to maternity, that's what. So the next time you go to the labor room and you see a baby, say, hell, I wonder what sin this baby committed. They will call intervention for you. But there's no sin committed. He has no life, previous life. Doesn't exist. Now when you come to Christ as newborn what? Babes, you have no previous life. Nothing. Doesn't exist. You must understand salvation to be able to enjoy fully what God has for you. It doesn't exist. So when the devil comes to say to you, remember what you did? He said, who did that? No. A newborn thing has no previous life. The blood of Jesus has what? Washed it. It's a circumcision. Sire, doctor, circumcision. When you do circumcision, you remove the outer skin. Right? And then, 10 years after, somebody is telling the same boy, say, where is the outer skin doing? I don't know if you get my point. Circumcision, when you came to Christ, the outer skin is gone. Totally gone. You are a new creature. Can I hear amen? And that's why Paul is saying, you've been created with this new nature. You can now stop lying. You can now do this. You can now do this. You don't have to go to God and say, Lord, give me more grace. He has already done what he needs to do before he now tells you, now, behave like the new nature I've given you. Stop lying. Stop doing this. But you know, you will never stop it until you start believing what God told you that he made you to be. You will never. You can't. Praise the Lord. What's the next verse? verse 16, right? Okay, we're done with that. Let's go to Colossians 3:1. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of what? Heaven. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Continue. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Continue. For you died to this life. You died to this life. Your real life is now hidden with Christ, where? In God. For. And when Christ, who is your life, is what? Revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Continue. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. So put to death the sinful evidence lurking within you, the flesh. Locking in your flesh is locking there. You can put it there. Because now you are a spirit man. You are more powerful than your flesh. 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 Because you have been joined to Christ. You are more powerful than your flesh. You can't let the flesh bamboozle you, push you around like you have no answer. Christ is the answer, and you've been joined to him. So he's saying now, what verse is that? So put to death the sinful evidence blocking. Did you say God is coming to do it for you? You put it today, you kill it. Have nothing to do with one, sexual immorality. The next one, what? Impurity. The next one, what? Lust. The next one, what? Evil. The evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Continue. Because of this sin, the anger of God is coming. Continue, continue quickly. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of. Again, you see, anger, rage, malicious behavior, and all that. Verse 9. Don't lie to each other again, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and eat wicked deeds. Put on what? Your new nature, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become more like him. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Now, I had a story about a pastor. This is his story. He used to smoke. So he got saved, he continued smoking. Became a pastor, was smoking, nobody knew. So he went for a convention and wanted to smoke. So he walked. This is Chicago. So he went to one of those alleys where there's nobody. And he smoked. And as far as smoking, he felt so bad. He felt so bad. He said, Lord, what else am I supposed to do? I have fasted for days. Prayed for days. That this must stop. I don't want to. When the craving comes, I go. He said, I feel so ashamed of myself. And this is real story. He was on the main road lamenting. And God spoke to him and said, that's the problem. You are asking me to do what I already accomplished for you in Christ. Did I tell you that I'm a new creature? That I put off all these things for me? Did I tell you that I did it? And now you are fasting for me to do what I did for you. He said, that's your problem. You either accept my son or you don't. Here's the answer. You shall know the truth. You said to the truth, I'm showing you the Bible. You don't want to know it. How can you be free? And the man said, really? You set me free. So I set you free. Say, really? So you did? Say, yeah, I did. Read your Bible. If the son shall set you free, I feel it. When did he set you free? When you came to him. Oh, say, Lord, you didn't set me free. So why have I been fasting? Say, because you don't know anything. Do you know what happened? From that day till he died, he never had any desire for smoke. Not even ankling to God's because he came in contact with the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want to read something for us. This is from Spurgeon. Spurgeon was called the Prince of Preachers in his time. Listen to what he, listen to this thing that happened. This is a real story. Mr. McDonald asked the inhabitants of the island of St. Kilda, St. Kilda, how a man was be saved. Saved from sin, saved from Satan, saved from everything, causes, saved the same. An old man replied, "We shall be saved if we repent and forsake our sins and turn to God." "Yes," said the middle-aged female, "and with a true heart too." Rejoined a third, "and with prayer," added the fourth man. "It must be the prayer of the heart though, and we must be diligent too," said the fifth, "in keeping the commandments." Thus, each having contributed his mite, feeling that a very decent creed had been made up, they all looked and listened to the preacher. They're like, this is what it should be. So we told him. They were now wanting the preacher to tell them something. So they all looked and listened to the preacher's approbation. You know, this is all English within 100 days ago. Approbation is approval. But they had aroused his deepest pity and sympathy. He was looking at them with sympathy to the white God. And so, listen to what they wrote. "The carnal mind always maps out for itself a way in which self can walk and become great." Let me read them. "The carnal mind always maps out for itself a way in which self can walk and achieve things and become great." So in all the answers they gave him, they were talking about what they can. The man was heartbroken looking at him. So he said, "The carnal mind is always mapping out what self can what to achieve." So they said, remember that question. He asked them, what shall be, he said, how a man must be saved. An old man replied, "We shall be saved if we, and if we forsake us, if we turn to God." "Yes," said the middle-aged female, "and with a true heart too." "Yea," rejoined the third, "and with prayer." Who says the prayer? We. "And added the fourth, it must be a prayer of our heart too. And we must be diligent too," said the fifth, "in keeping the ten." This is the flesh mapping out how to do great things without God, without Jesus. Do you get what he's saying? So the preacher was full of pity. He was full of compassion for them that they didn't know Christ was who he was. He said, "God." He didn't even mention him. So the carnal mind always maps out for itself a way in which self can walk and become great. But the Lord's way is quite the what? Fast. Believing is no matter of merit to be glorified. They are so simple that both is excluded. And free grace bears the power. See, the grace of God is for man. It's the grace of God in Christ that brings salvation to all. They didn't know that. We are talking about what they do. My Christian brothers and sisters, I am telling you, many Christians are in this group, they have no honor for what Christ did. They have no honor for what Christ is doing. They have no honor for the cross and the blood. They are mapping out for themselves how, what they do, and this they will do, and this they will do, and present it to God and say, "Behold our salvation." Is called karma. And he wrote, "To believe is simple to trust, to depend said, those who trust in him shall not be what? Look at Jude 1:24 to 25. Jude 1:24 to 25. Now, to him who is able, I wish we can put it up. Now, all glory to God, who is able, church, listen, who is able to keep you from what? Falling away. And will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without. Who is doing this work now? That's God in Christ. That's God in Christ. When you hear in Christ, that's what God is doing for you. He said, he will keep you. But when they ask them, they say, we do this. We do this. And we do this. And then someone say, yeah, with a good heart too, we do this. Suppose if somebody raised his hand and said, we are saved by faith in Christ. He is the Savior of my soul. He saved me from sin. He is not of works. So no man, child, nobody said in this way. We have confidence in what we do. Our prayer, our this, with that. And those are the reasons we don't experience God. Because nobody coming to the Father. Look at Ephesians 5:25-27. Remember, Paul said we found the answer. The answer is who? Jesus. Husbands, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave herself for her. All the men say amen. Only few people. I said all the men say amen. I want to read it again. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Can we say amen? Yeah. That he might sanctify. Listen to what Christ is doing. That Christ might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. That he, Christ, might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. This is Christ doing this thing from beginning to end. The spiritual mind puts it, the Bible said, put your mind on things what? About where Christ is. Focus on Jesus and what he is doing in your life. He's the one that will keep you, he's the one that will present. And he says, if it's true that you've been taught by him, he said, yes, he will cleanse you by his word. He's the one that will give you revelation of what he's doing, of what he did in your life, and what he's doing now. So he can keep you by his power so you don't fall. Is anybody understanding? That is called entering into the rest of God, where you rely on him for money. Cease from your level. But when that pastor asked these people this question, they were mentioning their own level. Their own level. This is what we do. This is what we do. But God says, cease from your what? Level. So you can enter into my own level. So to walk in the Spirit is to cease from all these things we think we map out again, you know, think all this. No. Is to really trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who made you a new man, and the one that is at work in you to will and to do what? Of a good pleasure. Can somebody shout hallelujah? That's why you can wake up and worship and say, Lord, you know you are able, because you are the one keeping me. I will make it today. Sin is nothing, but he that keepeth Israel does not sleep. You are the strength of my life. I know in whom I believe. I can worship him and worship him and worship him for what he's doing and forget about mapping out what you are going to do. And when you do that with your faith in him, you cannot be put to shame. Can I hear amen? I don't know if you got what I was saying. Somebody shout hallelujah. I said, somebody shout hallelujah. I said, somebody shout hallelujah. For many years, I had issues with anger, evil mouth. Man, it was a lot. And I was doing everything that it must stop. I knew it was wrong, but I was doing it. And then I would go to church hoping that our pastor would mention it and pray. It was wrong. So I was hoping that the pastor would say, there's one man here. You have this, you have this. Nothing happened. I'm telling people this. Until one day, and God knows our heart, one day we're going home. And I had out of you some back, which I didn't know who he was. The man was waiting. He said, when all doors was closed, they came Jesus. I said, I stood. And then this man was preaching the power of Christ, what Christ can do. I said, whoa, I never had this time. So I went near. I said, I stood there and I was listening. And the more I was listening, the more my faith was, you know, that Christ is all powerful. You know, man, he said, nothing can stop him. He said, they locked the door. He came in. He said, he can do this. Again. So I asked him, I said, can I get this? They said, we're selling it. I said, are you selling it? He said, I said, please give me. I want to buy. I bought that cassette. God is my witness. For 7 days, I didn't listen to anybody. I put that cassette. I listened to it morning, afternoon. Morning, by the 7th day, the thing transformed my life. And I never listened to a pastor again. Till today. That was it. No one. I said, no, this is not building my faith. What? See, they're preaching this thing, Christ crucified. So I said, him, what am I looking for? Me, he set me free. Why am I struggling? So all I did was, I relaxed on him. Relaxed on him. And he started that walk. For he's the one that's working you to what? Will and what? To do. I said, he is working in me. Why am I fasting? He's working. So I started to thank him. Give him praise. Then I will stay up and study the Bible to my life. I will stay up and study the 3 a.m. pray, ask my wife, and then say, that's when I would tell her, I said, what do you want? You tell me this is what I want. I put it up there. I said, Lord, that's what I want. And I thank God for it. 24 hours will happen. Miracles will happen. Anywhere I went, miracles were happening in the hospital, everywhere. Because I was studying and studying and say, wow, Christ is in me. I'm not a small guy, man. He's joined to me. There's power in me. The greater one is alive. One sister was dying. They told us in our life center, I said, let's go. She was producing pause. He couldn't stop. Yeah. Pause. I don't know if you remember. Wife to one of the teachers in the school. Pause. And I said, let's go there. They will be busy. And then we went there because I believe the greater one was. If I will wait for a pastor, but this one no more. I'm not waiting for a pastor anymore. So we went, two of us. We went there and said, hey, I said, Satan, if I come to it, stop this stuff. Take hands off this woman. And don't continue this. You are free in Jesus' name. The thing dried up. No more pause. The following day, they decided. Mrs. Show you. So they're like, oh, the thing dropped, the force dropped, then dropped up. Then we are doing gospel night service. Come and see miracles. Come and see God do stuff. Me, I will study and study and study. Wow, I say, Jesus is awesome. What? That's glorifying Christ. And when you praise him, he's fearful. Can we rise up?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.